Hello and welcome to another episode of IT Factor brought to you by AV Nation. I am your host and guide, Frank Patacala, taking you on a journey of IT and AV enlightenment. This is the second episode of IT Factor, or episode 46, if you're a longtime listener of the show. This has been an amazing journey the last month. I appreciate all the comments that came through, a lot of feedback. It's been wonderful. It's been quite the experience. One of the common themes that I got a lot was everybody kept asking me, do you have a mission statement? How do you intend on standing out? And I understand where that's coming from, because there's such an amazing array of podcasts and people on the air sharing their thoughts and their minds. How do we at IT Factor want to differentiate ourselves? And I thought long and hard about it, and I couldn't come up with anything cool. So I'm going to come down to the basics of what my life motto is. And I think that's going to be the mission statement here. We want to learn. And while we're talking about learning about IT as a technology industry, learning about the different subsets that IT has, and hopefully eventually getting to the point where there's an understanding that AV has a place in IT, irrespective of my personal take on it, you know, we are in this together, and that's what I'm hoping people will get out of this. And today, we're going to be talking about something that is, I'm sure, fascinating to many. Everybody has a vague idea about it. They've heard it. We've seen it in the movies. I'm guessing a lot of our thoughts and perspectives on the topic is pretty much influence what we've seen in Hollywood. We are going to be talking about artificial intelligence. And in order to fight that topic, I decided to bring along some top quality intelligence from the AV industry. And I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce our wonderful panel. We have Sharat Abraham, member of the Nine by SCN, former technical director at Crestron, and the current engineering manager at AVISPL. Sharat, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Nice. We have the vocal, outspoken, and rising star of the AV industry, who everybody likes and who happens to be on every podcast out there at this point, Erica Williams, who is the AV administrator at Henderson Engineering.
Thank you, Frank.
We also have with us one third of the AV Jam and Director of Technical Services at Involve Visual Collaboration, Kev Talbot. Kev, welcome to the show. I know it's late over there in UK.
That's okay. I don't mind, mate. Not for you anyway. Anyone else would have asked, maybe not.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad we're on the same page on this. So we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence. I know this is a foreign topic. And I'm going to do a little quiz here, right? When I say artificial intelligence, first word that pops up to your mind, Sharat.
Terminator.
Kev.
Jarvis.
Erica.
Eagle Eye.
You have Eagle Eye. All right. Okay. I thought we were going to go with, are you talking about the camera Eagle Eye?
No, I'm talking about the movie with Shia LaBeouf.
There you go. We've all gone completely Hollywood on our response in AV. And here I am trying to pitch that IT Factor is purely technology, but that's not true. We love our movies. There's technology everywhere. I don't think anybody's going to argue on that. The basis of all great technology comes from inspiration that we see every single day. And that, I think, is pretty much the definition of artificial intelligence that I'm going to start on. Because I ran through a lot of articles. In fact, got a book that was first written in the 1950s and read through it in preparation for this thing about artificial intelligence. And I gotta say, I could read the words off of it today and it's still pretty much relevant, because what is artificial intelligence? I mean, we haven't defined what our intelligence is, so it's gonna be hard to define what's artificial, right? So coming to artificial intelligence and its influence on the AV industry got me thinking, how do manufacturers see AI? And I'm going to lean on Sharat for, you know, his thoughts on this, considering his vast experience at Crestron. And how does a manufacturer lean into AI?
Well, when I was at Crestron, I think this was one of the things that was not discuss thoroughly with everyone, but everyone was very like, hey, what are you guys doing with AI? And I think the engineers at the time at Crestron were kind of saying, we have the hardware products available. Now let's bring the software side of it, because when we think about artificial intelligence, there's two pieces, right? There's hardware and there's software. And you need both pieces most of the time in order for AI to be prevalent and useful. So half the battle with Crestron was using the hardware. And if we think about it, the most simple piece of hardware that Crestron has made for the last, you know, 10, 15 years is an occupancy sensor. And the amount of data you can use from an occupancy sensor that can then be utilized in AI is immense, right? Because the data you're getting is how often is the room occupied, how often is not occupied. So sensors have typically been a lot of what's been used for artificial intelligence for a long time now, even outside of the AV industry. Now, the second part of that software is where all the data gets bundled into, right? So without data, artificial intelligence is not prevalent at all, because if we think about it, when you make a computer, the computer has no idea what to do until you program it, right? So in order for artificial intelligence, you need all the data. So where does all this data go? So at the time, Crestron's whole solution in terms of artificial intelligence was Fusion. And Fusion was a big part of Crestron's whole ecosystem when it came to large deployments, because everyone wanted to keep track of everything. But Fusion was very dependent on hardware that everyone had to set up one by one by one. It took a lot of time. But now, since technology has been pushed over, Crestron has now moved to the Crestron Cloud, which they now call XIO. And XIO is what I was pushing every single second when I was a technical director, because one, it reduced the amount of time an integrator had to do. And two, they didn't have to think about it, right? Isn't that the whole point of artificial intelligence? You don't have to think about it, right? You don't have to set it up. You just kind of plug it in and boom, artificial intelligence is working. So I think Crestron at the time when I was still there, you know, had everything in place for where they are looking forward in the future for artificial intelligence, where they had two key pieces. One is the hardware, which is either the processor or the occupancy sensor. And then two, which is the software, which is now cloud-based, which if you Google any artificial intelligence anywhere now, everything is cloud-based. But we all know it's basically servers on like a boat in the middle of the ocean somewhere. That's the whole take about when I was at Crestron and where Crestron as a company was going. Of course, I can't speak for them now, but it was definitely exciting to be part of Crestron during that time, because it, you know, they would get my feedback and then they would see what next they can do. So, you know, being at Crestron, that's where they approach artificial intelligence. But to be honest with you, it wasn't a hot topic. It wasn't the hottest topic. It was more of a lingering topic that kind of brought up when you talked about everything else that they provided.
See, now that's an excellent point, right? Sharad, thank you for that. You brought on very important points as far as artificial intelligence is concerned. And I like your statement, the part where we don't have to think. And that truly is the point of artificial intelligence. In any given day, I think every one of us has at least one or two or more points of interaction with some form of artificial intelligence, right? We have Siri on our phone. We have, I don't even want to say, okay, Google too loud, because my phones will start, you know, because I'm an Android guy. We have all kinds of interaction with AI. And something that I read about and I find very true is that many of the things that we call AI right now, once we've reached that point of technological advancement, we tend to change the name of it from AI to voice recognition or voice processing or, you know, echo cancellation or anything like that. It actually has a name for that. It's called the AI effect, in which when you see a technology and you do it in AI, then you don't want to call it AI anymore. Maybe it's our aversion to what AI is, and that totally stems from the Terminators and, you know, Jarvis and all that we see on an everyday basis. And I am a huge AI in the movies fan. I love it, because my first memory of an AI is probably Terminator, like everybody else said. And it's pretty cool what they've done in the movies, but it is also one of the most cliched things ever. A quick Google search on AI Do you know that AI has a color? Everything AI is supposed to be blue. So go to Google Images and search for AI. 75% or even more of the images that you see are going to be blue. For some reason, it's so cliched. And that's why I want to have this conversation, you know, because we are trying to target the cliches about the IT industry. We're trying to target the cliches and try to tell people that we're beyond that. And so coming back to the point by Sharad about data and sensors and occupancy sensors, some of which are a staple in every AV installation. I'm going to come to you, Erica, because you are... you have a very unique role. You know, I got to say this. I'm going to blurt this out. I did not plan on my panel today, but it's so unique that every one of us comes from an IT background. Some would say that that was planned. It wasn't. I just thought, when I thought AI, and I wanted to have this discussion, you guys are the first names that popped up. And then yesterday, as I was going through your LinkedIn profile, because I don't want to sound dumb, I thought, look at you guys, they're all from IT, they all have an IT background. Isn't it cool? I've just, mission accomplished. I could end this show right now and I'd be a happy person. All right, so Erica, you have a unique role. You work for a consultancy that does audiovisual design, that does, is an MEP firm that talks to the GCs and the clients of the world. But you are unique in that you're an administrator. You are responsible for everything AV within a consultancy. So you guys know everything, but how much of your knowledge is actually translated into an implementation? How critical is something like data and data analytics or artificial intelligence when you decide on going for a project?
Well, that's actually something that we're starting to work towards. You know, myself and my partner, we kind of inherited everything. You know, a lot of the stuff that we have installed throughout the building wasn't at the end of its life cycle yet. So now we're starting to get to the point where it's time for us to replace things. You know, everything that's been happening with COVID and work from home, what does the future of the workplace look like? And that's stuff that we're starting to think about now, because we've struggled with, you know, people double booking conference rooms or thinking they double booked conference rooms or not showing up to their meeting, or, you know, is this room being used the way that it's supposed to? Why are we getting so many tickets about this room? You know, it's definitely information that we need that I wish we had at this point. So as we start to plan and design for the future, we can. But at this point, you know, it's doing everything by hand, you know, going through the calendars, you know, who was invited to this meeting, how many people showed up, you know, what was used in the room, and trying to do it all manually to make a hopefully good guesstimate of where to go. But it's information that is more than valuable. It's necessary. And it'll be interesting to see where things go from here.
So that's the thing. I mean, we have data on our hands. And in your already busy day, you're actually using your own time to further process this and refine it and come up with decisions, which, Erica, do you think an AI could do for you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The funny thing though is, though, is that people don't think of it as an AI. If you mention the word AI, they either freak yes. out or they get really excited, and, you know, it can go 1,000 directions. So you have to use your words very carefully and say,
indeed.
You know, use an occupancy sensor to see, you know, what did that sensor do? People counting. And, you know, you have to be careful with your words to make sure that you're explaining what you want it to do, what you plan for it to do, without using, you know, the term AI. So people, you know, think about stuff like Terminator or Eagle Eye. You know?
Because nobody wants to be replaced, right?
Exactly, exactly. And yeah.
And that is truly the biggest misconception of technology, right? Technology doesn't come to replace people. People always have a part of this. Do they make things more efficient? Sure they do. But what it does, it actually is supposed to free up your time to do more productive things rather than managing a calendar, which frankly, anybody with any remote sense of time management should be able to do. But we are averse to this. And I'm gonna go to Kev, because in your role as the Director of Technical Services, I know you have a large component of pre-sales in which you're talking to clients, you're trying to get their requirements, you're defining their requirements, you're putting onto paper the thoughts of clients. And how much does AI or the significance of being able to offer something which is plug and play and it manages itself and does not require a programmer to come in and scrub through the code, how much does that play in right now? How do you think it'll go forward?
A lot of things to unpick from that one.
I know.
So I think programming, the way that designs and stuff are moving forward, irrelevant of AI or the misconception of whatever AI potentially is, I think programming from a visual aspect, there could be a lot of differences in that with the way that it used to be and the way that things are progressing. I think that's a definite. I do think a lot of back-end programming, though, the simplicity, the automation will definitely be there. It's just kind of odd for me. It's the idea of AI. Is it everyone thinks that it was the movies or whatever, or is it, in my eyes, really just number crunching and analytics? And I still can't figure the two out. And I think with that, dependent on the customers that we speak to, some of them are a case of, I want plug and play. If it breaks, it breaks. So be it. I'm talking about a USB peripheral at the minute, and I kind of don't care. There are some that definitely want to know how many bums are on seats, what kit was used, how much it was used, whether we've got ghost meetings or what someone told me the other day, a zombie meeting. That stuff, there are some companies that want. The one bit I'm seeing a lot of, for all the conversations that we have and all the discussions that we have, that this is the way forward and this is what it's going to be, not everybody really wants it. Is that, though, because they don't understand what we're actually delivering, or because everyone keeps throwing around it's AI and they kind of get scared and don't know what it is anyway?
True. And, you know, I like that you brought up automation, right? And this is an important distinction that we as IT professionals, AV professionals need to make. Automation can be accomplished in different ways. Programming and the typical rule-based programming that we feed our processors and our devices with, saying, if you see this, do that, a whole list of rules, is pretty much how programming has happened for the longest time. Now, how that differs from AI is that you don't need to give it rules. What you need to give it is data. And I think there's a huge potential for this because of the fact that we are people who handle so much data every day. If we didn't, and to Sharat's earlier point, all the manufacturers out there are coming out with some kind of data analytics portion because everybody wants to know how much these rooms are being used. Like Erica said, they want to know if, you know, are we double booking things? From a resource management and from an ROI perspective, it's critical data that we're getting every day. But the unfortunate part of it is we have all that data, but we're not processing it. And that's where I feel that AV service providers, solutions providers, which I use as a blanket term for all the integrators and the manufacturers and the designers out there, I think we should be looking more into. And you know, it's interesting that I'm going to come back to Sharat, actually, because you're now the engineering manager of one of the top integrators in the United States, probably globally. I don't know the latest stats, so forgive me for that. And you come across designs. You come across a lot of customer requirements probably on a daily basis. And I'm going to lean on, you know, Kev's point about automation. Do you see automation being important, or are we still looking at the custom programming, you know, the very, very unique processes and projects with, you know, programming processes that are just for that project? What do you see happening out there?
Really depends. There's a lot of spaces where nowadays it's pretty much simple plug and play, like Kev mentioned. I just want the room to work. And then there's always the complicated spaces. Even when I was at Crestron, I used to say complicated spaces are less and less and less. So we need to stop really concentrating on those complicated spaces because you have to program those anyway. What we really want to concentrate on is how do we provide service to your clients after everything's installed? And service can only be positively impacted with data that we get from the client. Because if we think about, you know, the show is called IT Factor, and part of the conversations that you usually get into is how far away is the AV and the IT world. The IT world has so many service models that they're way ahead of the AV industry in terms of service models. They have all these data sets that they provide automatically because half the clients out there already expect those type of services. They're willing to pay for it. So that's another thing. As an AV industry, we have to now catch up to them and provide those services and be like, hey, I know Cisco, when you buy a whole bunch of Cisco network switches, they provide a service where they tell you what's your uptime, what's your load time, how packets get fixed, if it's high, you know, things like that. Now, where do we come into play with that? And I think as AVSPL, as a company, they've built something amazing, which is Symphony, where, you know, which I've been learning about in the past 2 months, which incorporates all this information together and provides that type of service. So it's really not about meeting rooms, really not about spaces. It's really about the service aspect of it, because thinking about COVID as well, if we take this all into consideration, how much hardware are we installing? All the stuff we're doing now is service-based, from home, from everywhere, what's the uptime, things like that. So even thinking about a business model, how does AI affect that? And I think I was reading an article trying to prepare for this call a while ago where it said that the C-suite might be eliminated by AI. So all the high execs should be scared if you're listening, because AI is coming for you too. You know, FYI. Because if you have a whole bunch of data, that leadership is always reviewing at the end of the month, at the end of the year, why not have an edge-based computer based out in somewhere just review the data and provide the feedback? It's unbiased. It doesn't have any feature set where it's looking at one person specifically. It's looking strictly at the data and then giving you output, or hopefully will give you an output on what you have to do as a company next year to get more money. Because at the end of the day, everything moves with money, right? So how can we make more money than last year? All right, tell the artificial intelligence computer, give a call to IBM Watson, put in all the data we gathered all this year, and ask him real quick, and then compare that with the information that the C-suite came back with. So that lights a fire under the butt for the C-suite people too. Because I think one thing that a lot of people don't understand is everyone thinks AI is going to take the floor level jobs away, the cashiers, this, but everyone has to understand AI has the capability of taking every single person's job if we really think deep and hard about it. So that's another aspect that we have to kind of think of. Sorry, I went on a tangent because of that article.
No, I like that. I mean, I think this is the highlight of the show, the fact that you can go on a tangent like that and talk about technology to the point where, you know, it's not about emotions here. It's not about, I mean, I'm not trying to say that we are dry people, but we're trying to do away with all of these cliches here. But at the same time, data is data. There's no arguing with. There's no arguing with data. You can't fake it. If a room is being utilized and then a sensor picks it up, it's being utilized. If it's not being utilized, it's not being utilized. There's no arguments about that. And I think to your point about the pandemic, kind of, you know, speeding things along in this path of automation and the utilization of AI, I think the UC platforms are playing a role in this too. Because what used to be the conduit for information, and what I would say is probably a good percentage of every AVIT argument out there, which is usually targeted towards networking, has now a new conduit called UC. And the difference between packets and routers and switches versus the UC platform is that now we have companies that are behemoths in their industry, like the Microsofts and the Ciscos of the world, who've just said, all right, you guys want to talk, I'll give you this end unit. All you got to do is put this camera on there. Make sure your device is Teams certified or Zoom certified. We'll take care of everything else. And that's what I'd like to ask you, Kev. Now you've been through this journey. It's like you've started off as, you know, in the lowest rung of IT, and you've grown into UC and WC, and your knowledge of AV actually comes from, and you can feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, it actually comes from IT. So you're one of the original AVIT professionals. And how do you feel UC views this. And if a client were to come to you and say, hey, I have a need for 1,000 endpoints or 100 endpoints, don't you think automation and having intelligent systems are critical to that process?
100%. And I think now, especially, we've kind of escalated that process of how quick that's going to happen. As Sharaf said, IT provides services, hundreds of them. They have done forever. AV didn't. Or they sort of did, or they tried to did, or someone was building their own software, or someone was trying to build their own standard to make that work. The big behemoths, though, that are doing UC, as you say, are IT companies. So they're already providing it as well. The beauty is for AV is because a lot of the AV firms are really the ones that are doing a lot of the integration of UC and now able to learn that back end as well and realize, actually, here is what AV potentially has been missing for quite some time, and here's how it works, because they're learning it from the side of the fence that's done it for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, it's like there's a process of learning involved in anything. And the whole point of the conversation when we're talking about AI is to understand that there is so many industries out there that we can collaborate with and learn from and work with and basically improve our processes and not in any way take away from the things that we do today. In fact, it may just improve it, right? So Erica, I'm going to build you a conference room right now, and you are an AV administrator. So I'm going to make you a pitch. And this room is, I hate using cliches, but I'm going to use one right now. It's a no-touch room, and you can walk into this conference room. There's occupancy sensors. It'll decide, from a phone or a Bluetooth connection, this room is supposed to be utilized by this person. A bunch of people can come in and they have everything ready and they can just start a meeting without doing anything. Does that thought, and as someone who, you know, it's funny, as someone who helps all kinds of people on the technology spectrum. I mean, I'm sure your company is full of smart people, but not everybody is technology proficient. It's a generalization. It may not be true, but it is like that. I mean, you walk into a university, there are people who have double PhDs in physics and astrophysics and stuff that's happening on the sun, but operating a projector may be challenging for them. No fault of their own. It's not their specialty. So as somebody who supports this entire range of very smart people, if I were to give you a conference room that does all that, and I say that it's AI-based, it does its own metrics, it'll find what's the best, it'll decide on the lighting, it'll decide on the volume, it'll do the cameras, all that, what would you feel? Would you be scared, first reaction, or would you be saying, I'll try it out?
The first thing I would say is I'm going to need to talk to my InfoSec guy about this. Because, you know, we're talking a lot about the technology of it, but we're not talking about the human side of it. You know, we have users who won't even put their work email on their phone because they don't want to allow the management of it. So the idea, and, you know, again, I'm speaking just from our environment, but I'm sure we're not alone in that. If a person knows that they walk into a conference room and their phone is automatically going to connect to that room, they're not going to be on board with that. And, you know, our information security guy is going to have to get involved. We're going to have to check our NDAs with our clients to make sure that we're not violating any of those as far as the data storage and the connection and all that stuff. So I would say I really like the idea. I like the ease of use of it. I think it would be brilliant. It just wouldn't work here.
Conference rooms would be like downloading an app. So before you walk into it, you have this whole terms and agreements on a touchpad.
Yeah, exactly. And we have vendors will come in to do lunch and learn and stuff like that. And, you know, we've used Crusher on Air Media, we've used Kramer Media and stuff like that. Yeah. And they can't plug in the dongle or they can't download the app to run it because their security policies are so locked down.
Right.
And, you know, building a room around something like that, it just would not be feasible. It's a great idea.
Does that mean that as humans are the ones that are going to hopefully progress AI, we're also going to be the ones that can drastically limit it as well.
Yeah, because that's where everybody in the world, you're in that middle space. Even outside of AV, everyone's like, I think a lot of people are thinking about, you know, when they download an app, they think, I think maybe an extra 3 seconds if you want to hit the accept button, as opposed to just hitting it immediately. And we're, as humans, we're getting better of acknowledging that something's in this whole agreement that probably won't sit well, but I'm okay with it because I like this game type of thing. So it's a whole aspect. But I think with AI and the AV industry, it also comes into play with I think it's mentioned a lot is spaces. We got all these huge buildings, and all these huge buildings have lights and HVAC. It's guaranteed, right? Every single building has lights and HVAC. And I think while I was doing my research about AI, I got into how there's these sensors that test air quality that validates cleanliness of the air. So how does that come into play with AV? And then, you know, with me, I'm thinking crazy here. I'm like, if that sensor picks up the air quality is not good in the conference room, then the conference room door, it just is closed and there's a red light that says you can't come in here. So I think it's time for us to think out of the box in the AV industry, and then work with other industries like Erica works with GCs, like the GCs work with so many other companies that do so many other things within the buildings. So there needs to be a way or a mode for us as an industry to work side by side and not silo ourselves, which I think we do a lot all the time. Is there's so much more opportunity by working with other industries as opposed to siloing ourselves. But sorry, more tangents while I keep getting thoughts.
Well, no, that's the excellent point. That's a wrap. I think I'm going to end the show at that. No, I'm kidding. But excellent points, Sharad. Seriously, those are top quality points. It's something that, you know, Kevin and I were on AV Happy Hour a couple of days ago, and we were up till Kev's like, I think it was 5 a.m. We were on till midnight. This is what we talked about, silos, right? Kev, tell me about silos.
Luckily, I've not had a drink for that one. It's the bit that did me with that from all the conversations that we had and the way that we silo it. AV has always, I wouldn't always say too much of a silo. A lot of things in AV can be. I think a lot of the time, though, they're not, it's not sometimes that they're wrong. They're just not where they want to be in that respect. Or again, not even where they wanted to be. They're just not, they weren't down that path, if that makes sense. So AV and IT being one of the biggest ones, the security element of it. Would I sit here and say that AV have ruined themselves for not being security aware in the past? Maybe not. Maybe they have, but maybe not. But at the same time, AV, even 5 years ago, just because it had a network port, very rarely went on a network. Or if it did, it went on an enclosed network that was airtight, locked away, and no one could touch it. So it weren't that they didn't know, but maybe they just weren't down that path. I think where the silo element kicks in is now that they understand there is a lot more going on the network and there is potentially a lot more convergence of that network, it does feel a lot of the time that manufacturers, integrators, a lot of AV aren't then willing to go and find out the extra bit just to make it ready for what people in IT expect today, because it has to be done. And I think that's probably where more of the silo element comes in, is ego, unwilling, I don't know.
True, true. And it could be a combination of all of that, right? And to your point, Kev, we are coming closer to security. We have a lot more security awareness. Hopefully we do, than we did a few years ago. But Erica, you raised an excellent point, and I'm going to circle back to you on that. Because what you're saying is, although we have all this data, not all data is accessible or should be accessible. There needs to be a delineation of what is the data that can be utilized by an AI. There's data that cannot be fed into, because that's basically what we're doing. An AI system is basically like eating up your data. That's all it needs. It keeps receiving data and comes to logical conclusions based on a set of parameters that we're giving it. And that's what it does, right? It's processing, it becomes self-aware, it becomes intelligent based on the data we're giving it, but we as an industry still have not come to terms on what our data processes are. And in general, security as a standard is something that we need to talk about in detail. So that's an excellent point. Now, in terms of
we just came up with your next podcast, security.
I'm saving it for a rainy day because it's like I could go on a tangent on that one. So, Erica, you use conference rooms. You have a whole lot of AV technologies. And I'm going to come back to a conversation. I'm becoming one of those people who try to remember things, right? I don't like this. It's almost like people are going to be scared of talking to me now. Erica, we spoke a while back, and you were telling me about an AI-based, was it a transcription system that you implemented?
Yes.
And, you know, just share it with us. Because I think, you know, there's a lot of categories under AI. AI, like if AI people were to hear this conversation today that I actually clubbed it in with IT, they would yell at me just like the AV people who yell at me for clubbing AV with IT, because they're a huge industry in it themselves. So again, the point of all these conversations is not to give other people labels. We're trying to say, like Sharat said, that there are other industries out there that we should collaborate and work with. But that's my spiel. That's what I'm going to say to any industry that we're going to touch base on. So AI has machine learning, which a lot of, you know, new, like even your Teslas and your very complex systems, they have a lot of AI in terms of machine learning. There's also language processing, which is a huge development that's happening every day. So how was that experience with you? I mean, you're a firsthand user of something AI-based, which I don't know a lot of people do. I'm sure there are meeting rooms that try to transcribe their, you know, stuff. What was your experience like?
So, yeah, we had to find something. I mean, because we are a Zoom shop, and once people started to use Teams a little bit more and realized it was baked into Teams, the pressure really started to get put on us. And, you know, money is always a factor. And so we were trying to find the most cost-effective thing to use, because we don't need to use it on a daily, you know, hours long kind of thing. And we came across the AI-based product called Otter.ai, and it turns out one of our partners is using it. But we had to put it through the process, because it is AI, it's cloud-based. You know, what cloud services are they using? Because we have NDAs with clients that we can or cannot use certain types of products. So we had to run it through all the paces of that. Make sure that it could be approved. You know, we had to go through the whole spiel of all the fine print to make sure we weren't violating anything, made sure we understand how the data is stored, what happens when we delete it, can it be recovered, who has access to it. We had to, you know, go through all of that. But, you know, once we finally got the okay, we could turn it on. You know, it's exactly like you would expect any kind of, you know, cloud transcription service to work. You talk. It learns your voice over time. The more you talk, the more you use it, the better it gets.
Nice. I need that for my wife.
There is not an AI built for that one yet, my friend. That requires pure intelligence. We're never getting replaced, guys. That's what I'm trying to say. We're always good. You know, I remember an ad when you said that a while ago, because it was like, I think it was called the mansplainer, right? And people could wear it around, and then whenever somebody tried to mansplain something, it would translate it into a proper language. You know, that's, you know, it's like, look, this is what you're trying to say. This is how you should be saying it. I mean, we probably need something of that sort, because, you know, that's who we are. We're dumb. So that raises some concerns, right? We have ethical issues right now. We have NDAs. We have data usability and the regulations around it. What would we say as a group that came together today to talk to the AV industry and to the AV manufacturers? What would be your message to an AV manufacturer in terms of AI? Because, you know, we know it's cool. We know it has great applications. What would be the most simple thing today that you're doing that you think an AI could solve? Very simple. I mean, it's like, very simple. Kev, what do you think?
I think if it was anything really quick, mm-hmm. it's more environmental potentially than human. Because I think that's potentially a hurdle to get over a little bit quicker without needing to worry about the human aspect. Like Sharaf mentioned before about buildings and HVAC. Imagine there's a room that never gets used between like 10 and 1. And you don't know why, but then you realize actually it's because it's south-facing. The sun is blurring in and it's too hot for anybody to go in there. But getting all that information and that analytics could know, do you know what? I'll just put the HVAC a little bit lower for these next couple of hours to keep that room going. I think something like that to give people a bit more freedom and a bit more usability of kit might be something to help them understand what it could deliver before you say, sign the dotted line and give me all your life secrets.
There you go. That's the message for all those control manufacturers out there, right? Because there are HVAC controls that are linked to cloud-based systems right now. It's there. And I'm pretty sure there's some implementation out there. I personally have not been exposed to it, but I'm sure it's there. But these are things that can help us, right? We don't have to go in and we don't need a programmer to say, all right, raise the blinds at at this time or lower it at this or do this with the shades. You don't need 1,000 lines of code. These are simple things. We have internet-based meteorological services that tell us what the weather's like, how much sun you're getting. It's all there. Data, most of that data is available. And I think, excellent point. Sharath, how about you? What do you think? If I could give you, I'm your genie today. You want something from AI. As the engineering manager of AVI SPL, what can I do for you? How can I solve your problem?
Is this personal or like work? Because one thing I wish every morning that would be AI is plan out, like have my phone read all my calendar.
Dude,
where I have to be.
I swear.
And then have it connect to the maps on my phone and then make sure I have the best route to get to where I need to go and also avoid traffic, but also have an option to pay the least amount of tolls, but also consider how much gas I have in my car because it's also connected to my car. So if I do need to get gas, it tells me when I need to get gas. That's what I need.
You know, that is not impossible. I don't think that's remotely difficult to do.
It's not. You know? It just takes a lot of work.
That's the secretary, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole point, right? Isn't that what Siri is supposed to be? Like a virtual assistant that helps you in your day?
Yeah. And I just need every app to come together. And then I also want that to also send automatic emails. Like if I'm in the car, it'll send an auto email saying, Sharath is currently en route to blah, blah, blah. He will reach out to you in blah, blah, blah. Due to traffic, he might take another extra 10 minutes. So if I can automate my emails to respond, that'll help me too and also drive safer.
There you go. Productivity. You know, so we have environment, your productivity. Erica, how can I help your day with AI?
Mine's going to sound probably a lot simpler, but honestly, if I could have it right now, I would want sensors and people counting in all of our spaces.
See, so I'm pretty sure somebody's going to hear this. Anybody in the industry, reach out to Erica. She needs a way to count people, and she just wants statistics.
But they exist. They exist. It's just
they do. I'm sure they do. And
oh yeah, there's plenty of them.
By the way, I just want to point out the stuff that you're talking about environmental is actually a part of a lot of building commissioning services. So there's a lot I've not worked with, but seen a lot of programs that some of our commissioning folks use to do that. Where they, you know, censor what the temperature is and change it, and they do all that stuff. So
true.
It's pretty cool stuff. It'd be awesome if they could definitely integrate it into
whole
AV thing together.
How are we going to be part of the technology industry without knowing what's out there and how to interact with other people? And that's the point of the conversation.
You know what the answer to that is? Interacting with other people.
Yeah. Exactly.
In other industries.
Yeah, exactly. Simple as that. Couldn't have said it better. No, I'm not going to do that. that's amazing. And, you know, the whole point of this conversation today was to hopefully, you know, get people to be interested in AI and technologies and things that are possibilities, because we have some smart people out there And it is only by knowing what's out there will we be able to understand what we can do. And I'm going to ask everyone for some closing statements and your thoughts today. What do you think about AI and AV? How do you see it playing out in the next 5 years or the next 10 years? What do you see? Let's put on our, you know, let's get access to our crystal balls and just tell me the future. Sharath, I'm going to start with you.
I'm going to say it's going to concentrate on UC only because of the pandemic and how much we use UC now. I think AI is going to be very big in terms of connecting different languages together. So if I needed to talk to someone in Japan, hopefully AI will take care of me talking in English and transcribe on the other side to my Japanese counterpart in Japanese. So I think language barriers will be broken with AI in the next 5 years.
Excellent point. And that's part of what inspired this whole conversation today. I don't know how many of you heard about it. So NVIDIA, a GPU company, ended up putting down $40 billion, I think, on ARM, which is an AI company. Cisco, a couple of years, last year, I believe, purchased Voicea, which is an AI company that focused on voice-related services. They currently have transcription, but the goal is to do your DSP and do your, you know, your sound quality. When you're done with this, if you haven't already, you should go onto YouTube and just check out the noise cancellation feature embedded within a typical NVIDIA GPU. It's amazing. They have leaf blowers right next to a person blowing, and it'll sound just like this. So that's what people are investing in. Everybody's getting interested in AV people. People want to, all the GPU companies, the Ciscos, the Microsoft, they're all looking into how they can enrich the audio and the video of everyday person's lives. I just think we should be there with them. That's the whole point. Kev, what do you think? Where do we end up on AI?
I was about to say, I agree with Sharath, and it was going to be the same thing. Everything's going UC, I think. So I want to be able to, and it won't, I don't see it happening, not even in 5 years, even longer. I want to be able to walk into a room. It know I've booked that room. It already knows what's in my calendar. It already knows what content I want to share, who I want to ring. I want to walk in the room. It says, afternoon, Kev. And I sit down and everything just starts. And it just knows I want that. The person next to me and the person next to them probably don't. So I don't see that coming for a long time. So I think it's going to be around the personal element of UC, and it's that transcription. It's that understanding. It's going back through old webinars and recording and being able to pinpoint easily where someone said a key phrase, which a lot of the stuff can already do. But I think that's what's going to grow.
Erica, where do you see the future?
It's not so much AV related, but I see, you know, the world is changing, and I think that AI is going to start to play a bigger part in human interaction and replacing the human interaction that we're not getting as we're going more and more virtual.
Excellent. Excellent points. And this has been a great conversation with everybody. It's like, it's so wonderful to have these technology-based conversations. We don't claim to be experts in AI. AI, there are probably people with double and triple PhDs who will school us right now. And that's the whole idea. We want you to school us. We want to learn. We want to understand. And the only way we're going to connect with smarter people is very simply, like Sharath said, we just have to reach out and interact with them. And that's the point of these conversations. I'd like to thank you all for coming in today. You are the brightest people I know, total amazing people. Every time I see any of you, when you tweet, you know, a picture, you all bring a smile to my face. So I'm so happy that you joined in. How can people reach you? How do people get a hold of you? You know, this is your time, you know, whatever you want to do. Kev.
Twitter mainly for me. At Kev Talbot on Twitter. I'm going to get this wrong and get told off. I think we're at AV Jam UK. I can never remember which is which, and you keep telling me off. AV Jam on Twitter, I'm normally there. I'm LinkedIn. I think I'm Kev Talbot there as well, but I very rarely use it. So yeah, Twitter. And just
yeah, you still haven't accepted my request, by the way, just letting you know on air right now.
Ooh, awkward.
that proves how much I use it.
I had to do that. All right.
Sorry.
Erica, how did people reach you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Erica Williams. Just look for the Erica Williams in the bright orange shirt. Or you can find me on Twitter at HaircutFW.
Indeed, and check out all the plethora of podcasts that Erica's on. She's talking about everything, people. Like, I don't know, like, you're there everywhere. So I'm just glad you joined us. Thank you. Sharath, how do people reach you?
I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn.
Famous,
as well.
Dude. I don't know if I should do this, but yeah, go ahead. Come on. Tell me.
No, I'm just Sharath S. Abraham on Twitter and just Sharath Abraham for LinkedIn, but you can probably find my YouTube account as well if you search my name and watch the videos of my dogs. Well, people are now like reaching out to me asking, like, what happened to the dog? And I'm just like, hi, I'm Sharath too. Chutney's still well and alive. And she's, of course.
Oh, there you go.
Next to me as always.
Chutney's right now thinking, I don't need AI, man. I'm smart. I don't need
exactly.
Any
how many people are now 50 minutes through this podcast saying, finally?
I do hope not. Oh, I thought you were saying that the show, they're just happy that the show is over. But
nope.
Absolutely. Gee, Cam, I thought you were
like, we just came here for chutney.
Yeah, no. Well, thank you guys for joining in. I'm going to close off with a special word of mention to all the people out there in our industry that are right now going through the most challenging of times that they'll ever possibly go through. A lot of furloughs happening, layoffs happening. People are finding it difficult to get a place in their own industry. But I just want everybody that's hearing this or viewing this to know that if you're in a good place, please, please use your time to help your fellow friend out. You don't need to do much. You don't need to, you know, collect resumes and send them out. You don't need to do anything. If you can just take a minute of your time and reach out to your friend and just say, dude, I know you're in this, I'm here. An ear is all a lot of people need. Be kind to one another, be happy. And I hope this has been an episode that you will enjoy listening to. I'd like to thank AV Nation for the platform that you've given us to share our views on these very, very interesting topics. Do log in to avnation.tv. There's a whole range of articles and podcasts out there that'll definitely suit you, whatever your tastes are. And this is me, Frank Patacala, signing off from the IT Factor. Have a great day.